What's up, everyone? I'm Eric Smith, editor-in-chief at QBList.com, and it's a Friday night, so what else are we doing here? We are doing a mock draft at QBList. I am joined by three other degenerates here, Ryan Heath, Drew DeLuca, and Mario Adamo Jr. Excited to get a mock draft in. We're going to talk about our picks, everything we've learned from the offseason and during this draft, and yeah, just have a lot of fun and recap all these picks. So it's a standard single quarterback PPR league, three receivers and a flex. Like I said, pretty standard scoring. We've even got kickers and defenses in this one, so we're not going to throw you too many curveballs with this mock draft. But yeah, we've got Drew DeLuca coming up with the first pick of our group at pick 1.02. I will be coming up at pick 1.4, and we've got Mario pick 1.5, and then Ryan comes in at pick 112. So we will keep you updated as this draft goes on. But Drew, you're going to be the first one up here. Welcome. How are you doing? And what are you thinking with pick two here?
I'm doing great. So, I mean, it's a two-man race right here for the second pick. It's who's left? Taylor or McCaffrey? And the choice has been made easy. Jonathan Taylor goes first, so I'll be taking Christian McCaffrey, second overall. So he's number one on some boards, and I'm happy to have him number two.
Yeah, so what do you think about I mean, we've talked a lot about Taylor versus McCaffrey, but are you typically all about the upside here, chasing McCaffrey, not worried about the injury history, or would you have taken Taylor if he was there for you?
I probably would have taken Taylor if it was a tournament or something. I probably would have gone with the upside with McCaffrey, but in a regular 12-team league, I'm going to go with Taylor most of the time there. Yeah, I like McCaffrey. I think the injuries he's had have been a variety where, you know, there's no long-term concerns from, you know, nothing that happened last year should be carrying over this year, should be entering the season 100% healthy. And we've seen when McCaffrey plays, you know, he's as good as anybody, if not the best in the league. So I have zero qualms about taking him 102.
And yeah, I was up at pick four. We're moving along here. The draft has started out Jonathan Taylor, Christian McCaffrey, and Justin Jefferson. I think earlier in the offseason, I would have gone with Austin Eckler here. I've kind of let Ryan talk me down on Eckler just a little bit here in the first round. I still like him as RB3, but I ended up going with Cooper Kupp here at pick 1.04 after Jefferson. It's a close call between Kupp and Ja'Marr Chase. Just kind of personal preference here. I'm going with Kupp. We just saw him get nearly 200 targets last year, so I'm not sure that we can go real wrong with Cooper Kupp early on. So that'll change my strategy coming back in the second round. Maybe I'll see if I can get a running back here. But Mario, we're moving quick here. You've already made your pick. Who'd you get at pick 1.5?
I did. I took Derrick Henry. I feel like there might have been some Derrick Henry slander going on. We mentioned like the third running back off the board would have been Eckler. I know people aren't too high on Henry, maybe because of his injury history, but people need to remember he had multiple 3-touchdown games last year. He was on pace to blow everybody out of the water and he got hurt. And you could nitpick and say AJ Brown's gone, the offensive line has worked, but you just can't change Derrick Henry and who he is. I think the king comes back. I'm happy to get him here at pick 5.
Welcome to the podcast, Mario. This is your first one, so we're glad to have you here. You killed it already. So, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I know it's a PPR league and Henry does get knocked because of the lack of pass catching, but, you know, he was putting up 25 PPR points a game last year or 24 before he got hurt. So he certainly does have the upside. We saw another bit of a curveball at pick 1.6 with Najee Harris, but I'm on board with that. So Austin Eckler doesn't go till 1.7 to Dan Adams. So we're moving along here in the first round. Ryan, you just got done with the turn at pick 112 and 2.1. So what were your thoughts on the turn there and how'd you approach the strategy?
Yeah, I'm going robust RB for once. This is out of character for me, but I'm sitting there at the turn and I see both Dalvin Cook and DeAndre Swift, two players that graded out extremely well in the juggernaut process that we talked about a couple weeks ago. So it's hard to say no to that, especially in sort of like a more normal redraft as opposed to a lot of the best balls that I've been drafting recently. You can kind of expect that more wide receivers are going to fall a little later. So I don't think I'll have any trouble filling that position in. So happy to start running back.
Yeah, I'm shocked. I don't know what to say to this, Ryan. So I'm interested to see how you build out the rest of your receiving core for sure. First round went pretty standard here. We got Travis Kelce sneaking in at 1.11. I think that's a pretty fair spot for him. Does anyone see any big fallers here? Anything that surprises them in the first round, or is this pretty standard for you all?
Oh, I love Dalvin Cook at the end of the first round. They're the 12th pick overall. That's a steal.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's scary anytime that you're drafting a running back in the first round that is over age 25 or so. But that Minnesota offense could be revamped this year with the new system. There is a lot of upside with Dalvin Cook, even if we're worried about the chronic shoulder injuries and everything else that you can nitpick about him.
No, I completely agree. And again, I love that you mentioned the robust RB there, and then you got two great ones there at the turn. You could make an argument for Swift going in the first round, you know, as early as 10 easily, I think. And to get him in this, to kick off the second, that's just an absolute coup there.
All right, Mario, you have made your second pick. You start out with Derrick Henry. Tell us about your thoughts here. 2.8 in the second round.
Yeah, I went with Debo. I want to keep the theme of five-letter first names that begin with D. But I wanted to diversify. I definitely want to get a wide receiver here. Debo was, I believe, the second-best wide receiver last year. From what I'm hearing in camp, he's still the number one guy. He just got paid in the offseason, and Trey Lance needs someone to throw to. So I just feel like this is just going to be the target in San Fran. Happy to get him here.
Yeah, and I picked right after you, 2.9. I took T. Higgins to pair with Cooper Kupp. So I saw you all drafting all these running backs. I figured I'd get us a zero RB start here. So I've started off Cooper Kupp and T. Higgins. I've got another pick coming up here pretty soon. But Drew, you've continued the trend. You're going running back heavy, and you're actually on the clock here. So maybe I'll stall a little bit more while you make this pick. But Drew has started out with Christian McCaffrey and Devontae Williams.
I was hoping to get Pitts there. He's gone. Oh, well. We'll go with my next in queue,
Mike Evans. So I think he's going to see a ton of targets, especially the start of the season as Godwin rounds into form. Every year, Mike Evans is drafted too low, and I'm not going to make that mistake here. I'll take him at the top end of the third as my wide receiver one.
Yeah, that's a good range for Evans. I think we said it just a few weeks ago on the podcast. When he falls into the third round, I really like that a lot. So, Ryan, you don't have any picks coming up super soon here. Give me some thoughts, just what you've seen overall here, the trend, any players that are falling that you're looking to draft, or just anything you notice here overall.
I will say that the player falling that surprises me a little bit right now is Leonard Fournette. Who's that? Yeah. Oh. Okay. Well, Eric just took him, and he absolutely should have. Eric, I really thought you were going to go zero RB like that. That was kind of why I went running back. Wanted to have somebody not go zero RB on this podcast for once, but you apparently had it covered. Just taking Fournette as he falls into the third round, which I've got to say, I think it's a sharp move. Like people are afraid of Fournette. They think he's fat. Like it's all narrative with Fournette. I don't think that he's all that different of a bet than somebody like Dalvin Cook. Fournette ran a ton of routes last year. The Bucs are pass heavy every year. He seems to have that role locked down. So I totally endorse it.
Yeah, and that was definitely the end of, it's getting on the end of a tier of running backs there with Fournette. I think most of the things that people are picking out about Fournette's been an issue his whole career. I mean, we've always kind of, at times he's been a little overweight. Sometimes we've wondered just how talented of an overall rusher he is, but if he's catching five or six balls a game from Tom Brady, I'm just fine with that. So I do like my Cooper Kupp, T. Higgins, Leonard Fournette start. I think I can go about any way I want from here. I imagine I'm going to draft a bunch of wide receivers though, but it's good to have the RB1 locked up. Mario, you went right after me. You now have Derrick Henry, Ezekiel Elliott, and Debo Samuel. So how do you feel about this start here? Were you hoping for Fournette, or do you like Elliott?
My mouth was salivating that I was about to get Fournette in the third, especially in like that middle third. And then it was mentioned, and then he was taken. So I could feel just my heart. It's round three, and I'm already getting my heart broken. So it's going to be a long draft, but I'm happy to take Zeke. I feel like he's been just getting disrespected. He did finish 10th last year. That's in standard scoring. I can't remember his PPR finish, but, you know, and he's still the guy. Jerry Jones is not going to let his money go to waste. Like, he's the kind of owner that's going to be involved, that's going to make sure he gets his, even though we had his rough start last year with Zeke. And I kind of expect that to happen again because they're playing the Buccaneers game one, if I remember correctly. They have a good defense, the Buccaneers. So I think he's going to be one of those. Zeke's going to do well if you're going to do poorly in that first game. So maybe you can kind of send a message, a trade request to whoever his owner is, and, you know, keep an eye on that.
Yeah, and I do think the hate's gone a little far with Zeke. I mean, I know he's losing some efficiency metrics here, but it is still a lot of volume. I am pretty down on I've been optimistic about the Cowboys all offseason, but this Tyron Smith injury is a real downer. Yeah. That was just right off the bat. Torn hamstring, I believe. It's like, man, we could have at least got a few weeks out of him before that hits. So that does get me a little worried about the Cowboys, but We've seen a lot of production from Zeke in the past. And I mean, right around him, right after him went Cam Akers. And then we haven't had a running back pick for about seven picks since then. So that's pretty clearly the end of a tier there. So like I said, Drew started out Christian McCaffrey, Javonte Williams, and Mike Evans. I started Cooper Kupp, T. Higgins, and Leonard Fournette. And Mario started Derrick Henry, Deebo Samuel, and Ezekiel Elliott. So just kind of an idea on some different combinations you can get in the first three rounds. And we've actually three tight ends have gone with Pitts, Mark Andrews, and Travis Kelce. We just got our first quarterback taken. Ryan, who are you down there? What's going on?
Yeah, I said earlier this week on this very podcast that I wasn't drafting Josh Allen at his ADP. But hey, he fell past his ADP. What do you want me to do? I'll take Josh Allen on the 3-4 turn. That's completely fine with me. And I'll be honest, most of it was I was just absolutely tilting my face off watching every single wide receiver go off the board that I would have been willing to draft. I really wanted AJ Brown. Dan Adams took him. I'm literally wearing an AJ Brown jersey as we speak. Really thought that might give me some luck and have him fall to me, but didn't work out. And then I was prepared to take DJ Moore, and he went.
It wasn't meant to be. He missed out on Waddle, missed out on Deontay, missed out on DJ Moore. That was a pretty big run of receivers before Ryan took
there. I feel better about DJ Moore not falling to me in the fourth if I knew you were going to be taking him immediately afterwards. I love DJ Moore this year. Absolutely love him.
Yeah, and Ryan, so you took Jerry Jeudy with your fourth pick. Have you kind of swung back to Jeudy over Sutton? Where are you standing on those Broncos wide receivers?
I have. I am Jeudy over Sutton now. When you just look at their targets per route run, yards per reception, Jeudy has just outperformed Sutton on all of them as of late. Yes, Sutton was coming off the ACL injury last year. That could have affected his ability to earn targets. But I'm sticking with Jeudy. I definitely want to make a bet on at least one of them in pretty much every draft. You should be leaving with one or the other. I think it's a pretty similar situation to the Rams last year. If you're the one that drafts Robert Woods, like, you're pretty mad at the end of the year, but it was still the correct bet to make early.
Yeah. Speaking of mad, Mario, you just sniped me, picked before me. Mike Williams, I think that's a really nice value on Mike Williams at 4.8. So what do you think about Mike Williams this year?
Eric, can I tell you, that's just the perfect example of hurt people hurting people, because I wanted Sutton, who was taken right before me, so I had to lash out at you. But I'm happy to get Mike Williams. I mean, we know that the Chargers offense is just going to be electric this year. A little bit of a pun there. We kind of expect Herbert to take that big leap. You know, Williams had his big shine early in the season last year. I think we can kind of get back to that. Finish definitely inconsistent, but I feel like there's just new energy in that building. So I'm liking him here. And the end of the fourth.
Yeah, and I mean, we talked about how we felt like Mike Williams and Keenan Allen were pretty close together for fantasy purposes, and you got him a little over a round after Keenan Allen in this draft. So I think that's a really nice value on Mike Williams there. So you have Mike Williams and Deebo to go along with Derrick Henry and Ezekiel Elliott. A lot of touchdown potential in that group, I would say. So my third receiver, I took right after Mike Williams. Maybe my first mini mistake in the draft. I'll be curious what you all think about this, but I doubled up on Rams receivers. So I drafted Allen Robinson. I've been wanting to get in on Allen Robinson as the offseason goes on. I really like what I'm hearing about him. Not sure how I feel about drafting him to go along with Cooper Kupp. Ryan, you're down at the other end of the draft board here. Is that something you would take in mind in a non-best ball draft, like drafting Cooper Kupp and Allen Robinson? Is that too many Rams, or do you just take best player available?
Yeah, if it's not best ball, I don't think it super matters. Like, you are capping your ceiling on a week-to-week basis, but that's not that big of a deal in just a normal managed league where you only need to beat one other person and you're not going for a 90th percentile outcome every single week. So I'm totally fine with that. Yeah, they're negatively correlated, but that's not the worst thing ever in a normal managed league.
Yep. Like I said, though, I like that spot for Robinson. I think he's getting towards the last of a tier at receiver here, so I think he's got a lot of upside. So pairing him with Kupp, we'll see. Obviously, I would like to have separated them, but I do like it overall. So I'm going to go ahead and just keep drafting receivers here. I'm going to take Chris Godwin. At this point, I've already got three wide receivers, so I don't really need Godwin to jump in and start day one for me. So I think that's a nice combo. Again, I got another buck, so I guess this is a Rams and Bucks heavy team for me. But I'll take a Cooper Kupp, T. Higgins, Allen Robinson, and Chris Godwin wide receiver group anytime. So, Drew, let's catch up. What did you do in the fourth and fifth round here? Let's round up your team.
So towards the end of the fourth there, I was looking, I was hoping that Courtland Sutton or DJ Moore would fall to me. Both of them were gone. And then at that point, I just took value. I had Breece Hall, next guy on my board. Kind of a little bit of a nice little pick there. Sammy Alcedo and I were at the draft, and we both had a chance to be in the same room with Breece and interview him during the pre-draft, right after he was taken in the second round. So it's kind of cool to be able to draft him after being an interviewer, which is kind of nice. And I really love him as an RB3 flex option. I think his ceiling is super high. I think it's arguably as high as Javonte Williams, who I took in the second. I think between those two, between McCaffrey, Williams, and Hall, I don't have to worry about running back for the rest of this draft. I could just pound receiver value and take who's there. There's a lot of receivers I like that are becoming my way. And I know at least two or three of them are going to fall to me at the 6-7 turn. So I think I'm going to like how it turns out. We'll have to see.
When I look at your team, it reminds me of a tweet I saw that said, some of y'all are drafting zero RB and don't even know it. And that's what I think when I see your team, in the best way, just because I feel like there is all that upside. But just in my mind, just like playing devil's advocate, we have the Jets running back. We have Christian McCaffrey, who I hope he stays healthy, but we don't know. And then personally, I'm not sold on Williams. I know he's supposed to like be the guy, but I'm still worried about a split with Gordon, like where he's not going to be where he's going for. So I just needed to bring that up.
Yeah, I'm all in on Williams this year. I was actually when I at the Fantasy Football Expo, and I was talking with Howard Bender from SiriusXM about him, and he's 100% in on Javonte as well, and sees Williams as a much better fit in that offense. And I agree. And, when Melvin Gordon himself is telling you Javonte is the guy, that's good enough for me. So I have zero concerns about Williams, as an RB2. I love Hall as an RB3. I'm kind of doing hero wide receiver really here with Evans as my wide receiver one, and then kind of seeing what the value that falls there. So, I did take Waller, in the 502. Instead of going for a second wide receiver, I felt like he was the last of that tier, if you will, for tight ends. I really like him. And I think with Davante Adams there, Renfro, I think there's going to be a lot of opportunities there for Waller to just crush it in the middle of the field, especially in the red zone. I think he's going to have a big year.
Yep. All right. We'll keep an eye on your receiver build, see how you catch up on those here in a few picks. Mario, you ended up taking Justin Herbert. We had a little quarterback run here in the fifth round. I actually got kicked off by Lamar Jackson. Then you took Justin Herbert. Patrick Mahomes goes next. So you're taking Herbert above Mahomes. Does that mean Herbert is your QB2 on your board behind Josh Allen?
Herbert is my QB2, and I did just get Mike Williams before him. So I did want to get a little bit of a stack. Yeah. I like getting a little bit of that, a little bit of just another incentive to watch the Chargers, and I think they're going to be fun to watch. But I do think Herbert's going to be the second quarterback. I think he has – I think Mahomes has kind of stepped away from using his legs as much as he does, or as he did. I think Herbert is kind of shifting towards doing so, and he's got an absolute cannon. So I think everybody's going to be firing on that Chargers offense. So I love Herbert here in the fifth.
Yeah, that's a fun stack. So, Ryan, do you have any regrets here picking Allen where you did? Would you have waited another round? Or I guess you probably missed out on this run of quarterbacks regardless of how you handled that, huh?
Yeah, it's not as if I was going to be able to get Herbert or Mahomes anyway. Yeah, I don't hate taking Allen there. Obviously, I probably would have preferred Kyler Murray or Jalen Hurts, both of which were available during my last two picks. But you know what? It's totally fine. I ended up going with Juju Smith-Schuster and Elijah Moore at the 5-6 turn. Juju is a player that is super misranked on a lot of sites, I've noticed. Like on underdog in paid leagues, he is going right around the end of round four. He's ranked well into round five, round six on most of these sites. So that's somebody that I think you can grab and feel pretty good about. He has not been nearly as efficient since his sophomore year, but he's always commanded targets. We can write off his struggles on Big Ben, I think, and he could be awesome with Pat Mahomes. So happy to get him there at value.
Yeah. So after starting two running backs and a quarterback, you've hit Jerry Jeudy, Juju Smith-Schuster, and Elijah Moore. I think that's a really nice stretch there, actually. Does that give you any pause going zero RB going forward? Are you converted now? You like this wide receiver group?
I do like this wide receiver group, but the thing is, if I go zero RB or hero RB, I can have an even better wide receiver group. Like if I add Stephon Diggs or Davante Adams to that wide receiver group, I'm still pretty happy. So I don't think I'm converted into robust RB. It was just a very specific circumstance with Dalvin Cook falling where I felt like it made sense.
Yeah, it looks like Estevao's our biggest zero RB drafter this draft, unless I'm missing someone here. He got David Montgomery in the fifth round, 5.11 is his RB1. He's got a Travis Kelce, Davante Adams, DJ Moore, Terry McLaurin, and Brandon Cooks lineup. So that's a pretty strong one. Yeah, I don't know. It's looking like a good draft so far. Drew, you just took a player I almost took with my last pick. You went Jalen Hurts. That's an awesome value on Hurts right there. You're getting him two rounds later than a lot of the quarterbacks that I think are in the same tier. So you did a little stack as well. So tell me about your last couple picks.
Yeah, I'm happy with how that turned out. So I was looking at wide receiver value. My board was Smith, Gabe Davis. I took Smith, Gabe Davis went with the very next pick. So at that point, Jalen Hurts sitting there, that just to me screamed value. And that's what I'm looking to do here in the middle rounds is just take best players whenever I can. I'll take Hurts in the seventh, as the, the QB seven off the board. And I love it. I think he's got QB one, two in his range of outcomes. We talked earlier at a podcast about the Eagles and how they kind of showed their hand at the beginning of last year. They came out firing, wanting to pass the football. They just didn't have the personnel to do it. And Ryan rocking that AJ Brown jersey, and I love Devontae Smith coming in. He set the franchise record for most receiving yards in a season by a wide receiver. And I'm talking about a franchise that's been around since 1933. So pairing Hurts and Smith there, I'm really, really happy with that value. And just kind of hoping that a few other receivers I have that I'm higher on the consensus, I'm hoping they're kind of still there for me at the 8-9 turn.
Yeah, so part of my consideration, I was coming back pick 6.9 before you got Hurts. I had one running back, four receivers. I was looking at Hurts. I wanted to draft him there. I was kind of maybe gambling a little bit that he'd fall back to me, so I took Clyde Edwards-Helaire at 6.9. I have not been drafting him a lot this offseason, but I got him after Elijah Mitchell, A.J. Dillon, David Montgomery, like two full rounds after J.K. Dobbins. I think that's a pretty decent value on Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I know that we've got Pacheco coming for his job, but I still think he's going to be involved. But kind of part of my calculus was, could I get Edwards-Helaire there and take Jalen Hurts on the way back, or do I take Jalen Hurts and see what running back is on the way back? So I don't know. Maybe in retrospect, I take Hurts there and try to see if Edwards-Helaire falls. But I ended up getting Brandon Ayuk on the way back in the seventh round. So I'm doing my pretty standard all running backs, all receivers draft here. So I've already got five receivers and two running backs through seven rounds. I just think the more shots at home run swings that you can take here in these drafts, you should. Ayuk could really mesh well with Trey Lance. If this offense happens the way that we hope it will happen, he could be in a blow up spot here. So I'll take him in the seventh round and see if that happens. And again, if it doesn't, he's my fifth round or my fifth wide receiver overall. So I feel pretty good with a Fournette and Clyde Edwards-Helaire start and more receivers than I know what to do with. So right after Ayuk, Mario, you took Alan Lazard, and I think we missed another pick of yours too. So catch us up on what you're thinking of this draft so far.
Yeah. So I got Alan Lazard there with my most recent pick. And then before that, I took Amari Cooper. With my thoughts with these two picks, I just want to take the best wide receiver one on these teams. I know Cleveland's going to have a little bit of who's throwing the ball, but I think Amari Cooper has kind of shown in Dallas that he is like he can be that true one. And so I'm also thinking, I guess I'd have to see how Baker Mayfield's quarterback wide receiver one numbers were last year, like whoever he was throwing to. But I feel like it's going to be about on par with that. And then the second half of the season, I'm thinking playoff time for fantasy. Cooper can really shine and be my ace in the hole. And then my most recent pick right after your Ayuk pick was Alan Lazard. I will say I think this may be a little bit above his ADP, but Aaron Rodgers, you know, his MVP of the last 2 years. You know, Adams is gone. Somebody needs to get all of that volume. From what I'm hearing, Lazard is going to be the number one. I know it could be a rookie who I'm forgetting his name, but I really want to make sure he was on the board. I didn't want to have any regrets with Lazard. He's someone I've kind of been targeting this year a lot.
Yeah, and he's one that I was probably pretty down on him early in the offseason, but we've made it so far through the offseason now, and nobody has challenged, like, for the wide receiver one job in Green Bay.
Nobody.
Yeah, like, there's just, I mean, Romeo Doubs is getting some positive buzz, but like then Aaron Rodgers shoots him down the next day. Watson hasn't really even been practicing. Like Lazard, I think, is our best bet that he's going to be on the field. He's going to be on the field. They trust him. And I think he could be a little bit underrated here. So he's someone I've had to reconsider as the offseason goes on.
Trust, such a big word there. He's someone that I really think Aaron will trust at throwing the ball. And we've kind of seen, you know, in those Brady eras when he had just like Julian Edelman and Wes Welker, where it's like you don't have to be like a true number one. Yes, it helps when you have Randy Moss. He'll definitely get his. But, you know, you can make anybody a pretty legitimate threat and wide receiver. And I'm actually about to pick now so I can actually talk about mine. So here I'm going to take Dallas Goedert. You know, on my sheets, like he's going around like round six. I'm able to get him here towards the end of the eighth. I'm pretty happy. I know he's definitely not in that same breath of air as the Kelseys, the Andrews, the Pitts, but I kind of have him in the same realm as TJ Hockenson, who just went at 7-8. So I'm happy to get Goedert here.
All right. And I am on the clock as well. You know, I'm going to try to pivot to maybe the minor mistake I made earlier of drafting too many Rams receivers. So I'm going to go ahead and take Matthew Stafford a couple spots ahead of ADP here, but I'm just going to make sure I have this Rams stack. So if they go nuclear this year in the passing game, hey, I've got it covered. So if I'm going to go ahead and load up on Allen Robinson and Cooper Kupp, let's get Matthew Stafford on board too. I took him over a couple players I have ranked ahead of him, like Brady. But, you know, I don't think I'm reaching too far there. And, hey, it's a mock draft. So let's go Rams this year until the Super Bowl, I guess, right?
If I would have just joined this draft and saw your team, I'm like, this guy's a huge LA fan. Like, this guy hopped on the bandwagon last year. Like, there's no doubt.
No, just watch my Bengals get beat by them. That's all. So, all right, we're making some picks down here. I'm going to give the people on the clock a second to breathe because we got 30-second pick timers here. This is intense. So, Ryan, catch us up on your picks down there at the turn. And then just kind of look at over this draft board and let me know like what you think about where drafts are at this time of the year compared to maybe where they were a month or two ago.
Yeah. So on this turn, I was just trying to fill my flex with a couple of good options. So I went with Hunter Renfrow and Chase Edmonds. Edmonds is another player that is being drafted much higher in the higher stakes leagues than in the more casual leagues. So he's another easy recommend. I will say that I am super angry once again that I drafted Josh Allen in the third round because I could have had Trey Lance or Russell Wilson there, and that would have been way better. I think I really prefer Trey Lance, Russell Wilson in round eight to Allen in round three. So even if you think that it's a good idea to take the falling elite quarterback, don't do it. You will regret it afterwards. And the only other thing I want to shout out is that Damian Pierce did just go in round eight in this draft. So if you're wondering how high is too high, how high he's going to go in your home leagues, apparently the conversation starts with round eight after that preseason performance he just had.
Yeah, I actually doing a late dynasty rookie draft right now, and he went, I think, pick six in the first round. I got Treylon Burks after him. Rashad White went after him. Garrett Wilson went after him. So the Damian Pierce hype is getting pretty out of control. He's always been the one I've wanted to see win that backfield, but it feels like when the Texans hype starts, it's maybe time in the preseason we should all take a step back. So do we have any Damian Pierce truthers on this podcast here? Anyone want to defend him? I'm not opposed to the pick. I'm just not quite ready to jump in with those.
No. And honestly, I think round eight is probably fair value for considering the opportunity he has, but I've heard of him going in the sixth round and I just can't endorse that at all. I just, that's way too soon. He's an early down back. He's not cut out to be, you know, a PPR back, receiving back at all. So he's not playing a role that would be fruitful in a team like the Texans. They're going to be playing from behind a lot. He's just not cut out for it. His limited agility, lateral agility. He's not a guy that's going to bounce it outside and break it for a big run. So I just can't see a big upside in that offense. I think we're a little bit out of control. I completely agree on Damian Pierce.
Yeah, and I don't mind him in the eighth round. I mean, I think that's okay. That's Dustin Lutke took him. I actually like the team he's building here. He's got Alvin Kamara, A.J. Dillon, and then Pierce as his third running back. So, like, I get it as a third running back, give you a little bit of an upside shot. So I think the rookie draft prices are a little insane right now. If you're drafting him over a rookie wide receiver that went in the top 10 or whatever, I think that might be a little bit of a mistake. But we will see. Mario, I think we have missed out on your picks here for a little bit. So catch us up to speed, your picks and just kind of what you're thinking of this draft.
Yep. So I just picked up Damian Harris. You know, I know there's been a little back and forth about who's going to be the guy in New England, him or Ramondre. But I mean, Harris was the one that got all the touchdowns last year. I know Mac Jones is jacked now. I know he really hit the gym in the offseason, but I still just don't trust that there's going to be a lot of passing touchdowns. I feel like they're going to get to the red zone, and it's either going to be Nick Folk, the Folk Heroes show, or I'm hoping Harris can kind of just do a little bit of a repeat of last year. I imagine there's going to be some touchdown regression, but again, this felt like a good spot to take him to get my third running back.
Yeah, it feels like we've come full circle in the Pats backfield. We've had every rumor imaginable from this backfield. So I think we're probably headed right back for that committee again. And if that's the case, I mean, Harris had a pretty valuable role last year. Mario, I get the sense that you're more of a standard league guy anyway, aren't you?
I am. I am definitely more of a standard league guy. Maybe my Derrick Henry at the fifth pick in a PPR, maybe that gave it away. You know, I just started fantasy when standard was the default. And I just, as I'm sure most people here did, but I can't, you know, the scores are just too high. Like when I see the 120s is like every single week, I'm like, what are we doing? Like, I want to get in that 90 to 100 range. Like, you know, I'm shaking my fist at the clouds. Like, that's the way I do it.
Well, touchdowns are still valuable in PPR leagues. So yeah, I think you'll be all right.
Give me some Zach Crockett.
Yeah.
All right. So after my Stafford pick, I ended up getting Miles Sanders in the ninth round, which they're saying positive things about Sanders as the lead back still. I've been drafting a lot of Kenny Gainwell, but Sanders appears to be the lead back. He's got an injury, but as long as he's on track to play week one or two relatively early, I just think there's a ton of upside in this Eagles backfield. So whether it's Sanders, whether it's Gainwell, I kind of tend to be drafting one of these guys in most drafts, and I'll gladly take Sanders, you know, three rounds after Elijah Mitchell, a couple rounds after Tony Pollard. Like, I think it's a really good value where Sanders is starting to go. So, Drew, are you you know, you're the resident Eagles fan. What do you think about Sanders? Are you still on board with him, or are you scared off this offseason?
Well, I love him in the ninth round. I think it's a great value. So, I mean, he's per touch, he's as efficient as anybody else in the league. And that's the thing, is that we forget just how good he is. So he had zero touchdowns last year. That's not happening again. And it was strange to me to see Kenny Gainwell be used in goal line situations.
Yeah.
And Sanders not. I didn't quite get that, because Sanders just has a build for it. He's just seems to be better built for that. So I think rookie head coach kind of feeling his way. I kind of feel like Sanders is due for a bounce back. I can't see another flat season like the last one. I think in the ninth round, it's as good of a value as you can ask for the running back position. Although I really, really like Kenneth Walker in the 10th as well. I really, really like that from our buddy, Mr. Maximo there. That's the Doak Walker award winner, you know, a terrific runner, to be going that late in the draft. That's just a really nice value there as well.
Yep. He does have a little bit of a surgery issue he's coming off of, but as long as he's not out long, it's a long season. So
it is a long season. That's right. And it's Rashard Penny. So we all know his track record for staying healthy.
Yeah. So I just took my fourth running back with Devin Singletary. I'm apparently collecting all the running backs that have hurt people in the past. I've got Fournette, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Miles Sanders, and Devin Singletary. But I think Sanders and Singletary ninth and 10th round is just a really nice value. Two awesome offenses, and Singletary is going to hold off these running backs behind him for a little while anyway. So I'll take that early season stretch of games from Singletary, and maybe he keeps playing well and holds them off. So that gives me five receivers with Kupp, Higgins, Allen Robinson, Chris Godwin, Brandon Ayuk, and then the running backs that I just mentioned with just one quarterback. And I don't have a tight end, but we don't need to draft tight ends. I've talked about that all offseason, so I'm going to hold strong on that one. So, Ryan, we missed a couple picks of yours back on the turn. You were a part of a big running back run here. So tell me kind of about those running backs in that range and who you ended up with.
I was. So James Cook went one pick before me. So that was pretty tilting. We know how I feel about James Cook on this podcast. But I did end up with Melvin Gordon and Rashad White. So personally, when I am betting on running backs that are in ambiguous backfields, really number one rule for me is the offense has to be pretty good. Unless they're a three down back and they're going to get it done through the air. I'm just not really interested in like the Damian Pierce, Rashad Penny, Ken Walker types. I would just prefer the offenses I know are going to be elite, so that if the contingent upside of a Melvin Gordon does hit or of a Rashad White does hit, then you know that they are actually an every week starter. And I think that's especially important in managed leagues over best ball, because you aren't going to be putting them into your, even if it's Damian Pierce or Rashad Penny is the starter, you know, he's going to get 60% of the carries. Like, are you really that excited to put him in your lineup when they're underdogs by 10 points? Like, and that's going to happen in Seattle and Houston this year.
Yep. All right, Drew, you got to talk about your pick here. I'm just going to give it right to you.
Yeah. I'm holding a metal bat in a baseball field in the middle of a thunderstorm right here with taking the Pacheco in the 11th round there. But I figured at this point I had Rondale Moore the previous round, the end of the 10th, who I'm really high on, much higher than consensus on Rondale. I really like him for a breakout this year. I think he's a good fit in that offense. I like Kyler Murray this year. He's close to 70% completion percentage. I really like what he could do there without Hopkins. Gets a chance to really establish himself.
Yep.
So I kind of feel like I got some nice upside plays there with Claypool, Moore, and Sky Moore and Rondale Moore. So I kind of feel comfortable with five receivers that I have. Why not take a swing at upside in the 11th round? So Pacheco should have a role. We don't know what that role is going to be. We've seen lesser running backs in Kansas City be productive in roles, you know, in late rounds with the Williamses and so forth. And if Clyde Edwards-Helaire falls flat again, Pacheco is definitely well positioned to really capitalize. And that's, you're talking about an offense run by Andy Reid, who has a long history of making fantasy studs out of running backs. So why not in the 11th round?
Yeah, I mean, this is about the range where I think it's okay. I mean, we just had Michael Carter go. You know, Tyler Algier is gone. You know, so I mean, I think at this point of the draft, if you're talking 11th round, anyone with some upside, yeah, you can make the argument for here. So I, as the host of this podcast, am not paying attention to the teams I'm drafting here. So I got another Tampa Bay Bucks wide receiver. I got Russell Gage here in the 11th round. I know his injury situation's a little up in the air. Like, we haven't had a lot of clarity on when he's going to return. It doesn't sound like the leg injury is real serious. And I kind of feel like we've all started hating on Gage maybe too much at this point. I mean, you know, Julio went ahead of Russell Gage in this draft, and I personally do not trust Julio to stay on the field. And I know Gage is not exactly an alpha receiver out there, but if we got Godwin struggling to come back a little bit, Evans with his typical bumps and bruises, like, I just don't see how Tom Brady's not going to be finding Russell Gage multiple times a game. So I think in a PPR league, Gage is, he's kind of a nice later round pick, kind of like the reason I like Jacoby Myers. I think Gage is, he's got more competition for sure, but he's kind of in that range of player that I like to take later on and get a little safety in PPR leagues. So, yeah, Mario, you want to catch us up? You don't have to go through every pick now, just kind of how you're feeling about your team, maybe the last pick you made, what you're thinking about this draft.
No, so the last pick I made, I was eyeing Gage, and again, just getting hurt left and right in this draft. So I took Madison, Alexander Madison, one of the most fun names to say in all of fantasy, but also Alexander Madison has proven that he can be the guy in any time he needs to step up in that handcuff role. So grabbing him in the 11th, I kind of weighed my options between the wide receivers still on the board. Nobody I really liked. I feel like will still be here when I have to pick again in, you know, 10 or so picks. So I want to just kind of get one of the best handcuffs there is, because there's no better feeling than, you know, obviously, we don't root for injuries, but if you just get a running back one in the 11th round, I mean, that's how you win leagues.
Yeah. All right. And you're on the clock, Mario. Ryan, give us some big picture takeaways here. Catch us up on your team. Stall while we all make our picks.
Hey, that's what I do best, Eric. So, big sort of picture. I am starting to regret going running back in the first, because there are just so many running backs you can get late that have a shot at real every week upside. Like, I just added Daryl Henderson in the 12th round. Like, that's an insane ADP. He could be in a 50-50 split with Akers to start the year. And we know that the history of players coming back from Achilles isn't great. There's just so much upside in that LA offense. So I really wish that I had an elite receiver right now. My receiver room is I like the players I have, but it's only four deep right now. It's a little bit thin if I will have to start flexing a receiver if any of them go down. And there's just not a whole lot of receivers to pick through later in drafts, unlike at the running back position. I I mean, when you guys are trying to talk yourselves into Russell Gage, like, I think that kind of tells the whole story that if you're looking for wide receiver production this late, you're not likely to find it, especially in managed leagues where you don't know when the guy is going to catch two balls for 80 yards and a touchdown. Like, you're almost never capitalizing off of those type of performances from these later round wide receivers that have these peripheral roles. So that it's just kind of tough. And that's really the thesis of why I don't like drafting too many running backs early, because there's so many late, the opportunity cost is just so high.
Yeah. And this league is a perfect example of the reason you should, if you're in a league that you've drafted in before, look back at the past history of your drafts and see how people draft certain positions, because we're looking at the quarterback position here. We've got a lot of people who believe in waiting on QB and not drafting two of them. So we're in the 13th round here. We've still got Tom Brady available. Like, it's insane, the quarterbacks that are on the board. And the reason is because everyone has a quarterback except for Dan Adams, and no one is going to draft their second early on. So everyone's filled up their spot other than Dan, who's wisely just waiting and grabbing up all the other players. But this is where knowing your league can really be huge, because you know, if I would have been paying better attention and I would have seen when I took Matthew Stafford that nobody else needs a quarterback, like, I could have just waited for five rounds. I could have taken Kareem Hunt or whoever in that range there, Chase Claypool, Sky Moore. So if you're in a league that you've drafted in before, I would strongly encourage you to look back at past drafts, see how they draft the tight ends, see how they draft the quarterbacks, because you can save yourself a whole bunch of value. I'm really curious to see if Dan Adams is going to take a quarterback here coming up, or if he just also realizes that everyone has their quarterback and he can just wait till the last round. So that's a smart strategy to play here if you can. Mario, you just got through a couple picks here. So, how are you looking with your team?
Yeah, right now I'm kind of just in that handcuff phase. I took another handcuff. I took Jamal Williams out in Detroit. You know, Swift got hurt last year. So, one thing I'll try to do sometimes, especially as it gets thin in your position, is I'll just see the other team's handcuffs, right? Like, there is absolutely no shame in just having a couple guys like that in the bench. If you're pretty satisfied, if I feel satisfied with like my wide receivers and like a bench guy or two, my running back's a bench guy or two, that's when I'll start to look at just other people's handcuffs. I'll pick them up, you know, especially hold them for the first 3-4 weeks of the season. And it's just like league winners potentially. So I like getting that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just going to say that Mario over here is drafting the handcuffs to both of the running backs I took in the first two rounds. So I don't know if there's like a targeted slight going on here. I don't know if you were upset about what I said about Derrick Henry before the show. I don't know exactly what's going on here, but I'm on the clock now, so I'm going to shut up and you guys can talk.
Ryan, just talking about your team, I did love Dawson Knox going at the end of the 11th. Like, I'll say in a lot of the mocks I've been doing and even some drafts I've been doing, like, he's been going in the 8th and the 9th. So to get him at the end of the 11th in a 12-man just feels like, maybe feel a little worse about my Goddard in the 8th.
No, I have Goddard above Knox. I wouldn't feel bad about that pick at all. I think he's going to – you talk about an Eagles offense is going to pass a lot. He'll get his. So. But Knox, I think Knox is going to be touchdown dependent, but I still think he's going to get a ton of touchdowns. So I think it'll work out well for both of you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty far down on Knox, but 11th round, end of the 11th round, Knox, like, I'm all on board there. I end up taking Albert O with the 9th pick in the 12th round. Mm-hmm. Like, again, you can wait at tight end if you really want to. Like, look at these names that we got 11th round and later. Irv Smith, I am kind of out on him, but he's got some upside. Cole Kmet in the 11th round. Dawson Knox in the 11th round. Albert O in the 12th. Freiermuth in the 13th. Gerald Everett in the 13th. Like, there's still a bunch of names here. So I don't think you should worry. If you miss out on a tight end early, you got tons of value. So Drew, I think you got some picks you can catch us up on while I try to pick my kicker here.
Sure. After Pacheco, I took Christian Watson, another upside pick. If it starts out on the pup list, then I'll just put him on the IR, and that means I don't have to draft a kicker. I'll take one, pick one up off the waivers there. And then I really like Jamison Crowder. I think McKenzie, the consensus is to win that role, but I'm not sold. I think Crowder's a crafty veteran. I think Cole Beasley thrived in a certain role in that offense that I think Crowder is tailor made for. I think he's got more dependable every down hands. I think throughout the course of the season, I think we're going to see Crowder playing a very important role in a very high powered offense. So I'm happy to get a piece of that there in the 13th round. So I'm on the clock now. Let's see what we got here. I was hoping to get Jameson Williams here, but Sammy took him, unfortunately, in the last round. I thought that would be a good late-round pick. I guess I have to get a kicker, don't I? No, I don't. I'll take Paris Campbell. I think if he stays healthy this year, he'll be starting. He'll be playing every down on the other side of Michael Pittman. I think Michael Pittman's a very talented receiver. I think he's going to draw a lot of attention. I think Campbell here in the 14th round could surprise. No one questions his talent. It's just his ability to stay on the field that really kind of scares people. So in the 14th round, that risk is built in. So if he's able to stay healthy, get out there, I'm really, really happy with the risk-reward proposition there at this point in the draft.
Yeah, and I'll give Drew a second to make his last pick here. I do like your strategy here late, Drew, and you're taking some high upside flyers. I mean, these offenses you're drafting, Indianapolis, Buffalo, Green Bay, Kansas City, Arizona, you're going for the big offenses. So I do think that's how we should be doing this at the end of the drafts. I did want to point out, Ryan, I think you got an awesome value on Wandale Robinson at 13-12. I feel like he's one of those players, and if you're drafting online or in person, wherever, I don't think the rankings have quite got him right in the apps yet. Like his ADP is not right or his ranking's not right or something, because he's just one of those players you forget is even there until someone drafts him. And you're like, really? Wandale Robinson was sitting there? Like, I don't believe necessarily in the size and the profile of him, but we're at the point of the offseason where they're talking about him like he's a starter. And I think that's all we need to know at this point is that he's going to be a starter. And pick 13-12, that's a good deal.
Yeah, I personally do believe in his profile. His size, he's only an inch shorter than Elijah Moore. Come on. Like, I don't think we'd even be having this conversation if Rondale had had a better season last year. But Wandale was crazy productive in college. The word out of camp is that he's taking some snaps out of the backfield as well. So normally I don't draft wide receivers late in managed leagues, but if I can pretend like Wandale has contingent upside if Barkley gets injured, then that's good enough for me. He'll be my wide receiver that I draft in the last round of basically any league. And yeah, because as you said, he's ranked very lowly on most sites, so you're pretty safe to just grab him late and not worry about it. And I think he's one of the better upside guys that you can get. It is completely possible that he leads Giants wide receivers in targets this year. Kenny Golladay is washed. Kadarius Toney can't stay healthy. Like, this is in the range of outcomes for Robinson.
Yeah, Sterling Shepard would like a word from the tub as well. But yeah, but to your point, I really love the pick. I really do. I mean, if we're gonna be, you know, all in on Darnell Mooney like half of the fantasy football world, then there's no reason why we can't love Wandale Robinson at that point in the draft for sure.
Yeah. Now, minor strategy note here. I always take kicker second to last round because I don't want to have to stream kicker. I'd rather just have a good one. So I got Daniel Carlson. I think the Raiders will score some points. I basically just want kickers on good offenses, hopefully that play in a dome or in good weather. That's all I care about, a kicker. So I got Daniel Carlson. But when I look to defense, I already go into the season planning to stream them. So one of my favorite defenses to pick late at this point are the Philadelphia Eagles. I think they've got a pretty good shot at a defense anyway. But you look at their early season schedule at Detroit, Minnesota, at Washington, and Jacksonville. So I can get at least three out of the first 4 weeks. And, you know, maybe even week two against Minnesota, I'll play them. I don't know. We'll see. But it is a new offense. Maybe they struggle a little bit. But
no, I'm really looking at
defenses early on. I'm just looking at their schedules.
As somebody who's been following the Eagles very closely, I absolutely love the pick. I thought about taking them where, and so I took the Saints instead there. I almost took the Eagles there, and I kind of wish I did. That's another example as to why we don't draft defenses early. You're going to find ones like the Eagles that are going to be sitting there. Everyone ignores them. They're not getting drafted generally within the first 12 defenses, but look at what they have along the line. They're one of the best defensive lines in football. The linebacking core is probably the best that they've had in well over a decade. And then you have Slay and Bradbury, two all Pro Bowl caliber corners. I mean, it just sets up so nicely from a fantasy defense perspective.
Yeah, man, some other defenses that have nice early schedules. Denver plays Seattle and Houston. That sounds great to me. Washington is Jacksonville and Detroit. The Saints get the Falcons week one. Baltimore gets the Jets. Tennessee gets the Giants. So just some of these defenses you can probably get last round without even trying. I wrote up my ultimate draft guide and kind of pointed out defenses you can get after the top five that have some nice early season schedules. So actually the Browns have a really nice schedule. I just don't know what to do with that team right now, but they start out against Carolina, the Jets, Pittsburgh, and Atlanta. So That could be some fun for Myles Garrett there. So we have wrapped up this draft overall. So now we can catch our breath a little bit. Mario, I'll kick it back to you. I don't think we've heard from you in a little bit. What were your thoughts on this draft? Anything you would have done differently now that you can look back on it?
Man, what would I have done differently? I will say, just going so long between my second and my third running back, I got Zeke in the third, and then I drafted my third running back, Damian Harris, in the ninth. I know Harris, you know, I know he's going to have a little bit of a regression on the touchdowns, so like, I kind of wish maybe I snuck in an earlier running back, but I'm happy with who I got in those middling rounds. I got Lazard, I got Cooper, I got some wide receiver ones, so feeling good about that, but I was interested. I'm glad you brought up like why you took kicker than defense, because that I like going defense kicker, and I was happy to get the Bucs defense. I mean, they're going to be playing Atlanta twice. You know, Jameis is going to be, you know, he's still Jameis, so I think that's going to be a good defense for a good chunk of the season. And I was happy to get Folk Hero, Nick Folk, for the final one.
Yeah, I was going to say, you got an arguable top, what, six kicker anyway in the last round, so it worked out just fine for you. So he's good every year, it seems like. So, Ryan, I'm glad to see you actually follow through with the kicker and defense. I thought you might just skip them. So what do you think about your roster here? Any thoughts from this draft?
Yeah, so I do want to say that normally in a real draft, I probably wouldn't bother drafting a defense and a kicker. I just like to take a couple of extra running backs that might grow in value before week one comes. As long as you can make roster moves before week one, I think that makes the most sense, because it's pretty rare that you're getting much of an advantage over streaming on kicker or defense. But I went with the Ravens. They play the AFC East early in the year, so that works out until they play Buffalo in week four. But overall, I'm pretty happy with this draft. It is a little heavy on the running backs. I drafted six total. Probably could have done with one more wide receiver early instead of Dalvin Cook or DeAndre Swift. But overall, I like it. Don't really like the Josh Allen super early, but I did get Dawson Knox extremely late, like after Cole Kmet and Irv Smith. So I, with the Galaxy brain, it came in there eventually. We made it work. So I'm pretty happy with the result.
Yeah, and mocks are good times to try out a strategy. You never try. See what it feels like to draft a quarterback, and then you'll probably never do it in a money league again. But it's definitely a good shot to try out those strategies. So let's start up at the top of the draft. So, Drew, you were the pick 1.2 overall. What is your favorite pick of the draft? Whether it's an early one, a late one, whatever you want here, someone you want to pound the table for and encourage other people to draft.
You mean from my own team there? Or?
Yeah, from your own.
Okay. Oh, sure. Okay. Well, I love Rondale Moore in the 10th. I thought that was terrific value. I look at, DeAndre Hopkins for the first 6 weeks of the season. I think Rondale is an ascending talent. I know people were a little bit disappointed by what he did last year, but I think we're holding him to a standard, an impossible standard that was set by guys like Jamar Chase, you know, rookies that come right in and just light the world on fire. But he quietly had over 50 some receptions. He's in a high-powered offense. I think he can do a lot. I think where Rondale Moore is going in drafts, and I took him ahead of where he's going, I think he's a terrific value in the mid to late part of your drafts. So I really like that particular value. And also I liked Devonta Smith. We've talked about him before. I love Elijah Moore, and I love Devonta Smith. They were twos that Ryan and your process really graded out as sophomore wide receivers that are due for a breakout along with Waddle. I'm all in all three of those guys. So I was happy to get him, and then Hurts coming back to kind of stack both of those guys. I think I'm going to be very happy with how that turns out.
Yeah, Ryan, we haven't talked a ton about Rondale Moore. Like, I know you did a lot of work on sophomore wide receivers, looking back at their rookie years. I mean, on the one hand, Moore, he didn't have that disaster of a rookie year we want to avoid from rookie receivers, so that's a positive. But, I mean, his average depth of target was, like, worse than a running back's. They were just throwing him the ball at the line of scrimmage. So are you kind of more holding that against him, or do you see some upside here in Arizona?
Yeah, so with Rondale Moore, so the biggest stat that I look at in my process for predicting sophomore breakouts is yards per team attempt, and Moore did not do very well in that, but I mean, it kind of makes sense, right, with the role he was playing, very horizontal, as you said, not really getting down the field much at all. He was basically a gadget player as a rookie. So with Moore, for him to pay off and break out, we need his role to change. We need him to step into the slot and soak up some of that Christian Kirk role that we saw last year. I think that's like the bull's case for him. I just don't love betting on rookies, or sorry, betting on sophomores to have these big role changes. So there are other sophomore wide receivers I much prefer. More is cheaper. I can't knock it too much, but that's an area of the draft where I'm mostly drafting running backs. So I can't get too upset about it.
Yeah, I took Pacheco another round later. I kind of felt like he was another one of those. We talk about upside guys. I think he's one that's there. So I agree with you as far as it's not typical where you typically don't see a sophomore receiver have his role changed. But I think the situation is different in this case with DeAndre Hopkins being gone for the first 6 weeks, with Christian Kirk completely out of the picture now. I think they're going to really give him opportunities to do a lot of things in different spaces in the field. So I think people are a little higher on Zach Ertz than they should be. I think they're a little lower on Rondale Moore than they should be.
Okay. Yeah, it's fair. All right. I was up next. I was at pick 1.04. So I think probably my best pick was Fournette at 3.04. It was just a nice value there. So I really liked my T. Higgins at 2.9, Fournette at 3.4. That's just a ton of touchdowns right there in back-to-back rounds. Pairing that with Kupp, I love that start. I do actually really like Devin Singletary at 10.9. I know we're worried about James Cook. Even Zach Moss has been getting a little bit of preseason hype. I wonder how much of that's just them wanting to trade him or, I don't know, boost his value a little bit. But maybe it's a three-headed backfield. But I think at 10.9, Singletary just completely took over down the stretch last year. I don't expect that. But I think that's a nice bet to make in the Bills offense. And actually, I mean, looking back at my draft, getting Miles Sanders at 9 and Devin Singletary at 10, like, that feels like an awfully good argument for zero RB, honestly. Like, that's two number one receivers in really good offenses, we think. And sure, Miles Sanders struggles to stay healthy, but that's why he's a ninth round pick. So I probably could have done without Clyde Edwards-Helaire there at 6.9 and just taken Devontae Smith or Gabe Davis or somebody, loaded up a more receiver. But I like how it played out overall. And if we can get Sanders and Singletary ninth and 10th round, then just draft all the receivers you can early on. All right, let's get to Mario. It was right after me, pick 1.5. I hope I didn't snipe you on too many here, but what was your favorite pick of the draft? Just kind of overall thoughts.
Yeah, only a couple, so no bad blood there. So just Derrick Henry, obviously, is the first round pick, but I don't know if people remember when Vrabel wore the mask that said, please give the ball to Derrick Henry. I'll just say, like, I went out and bought 5 of them after I saw that. Like, I am such a huge Derrick Henry fan, so love getting him at 1.5. But, you know, obviously that's a first round pick. I really liked getting Lazard. I know I already talked about him a lot, but, and maybe I did reach in like 7.5, but I really think he's going to be the one that steps into that Adams role. I still feel like Aaron Rodgers is still on this kind of, like, you know, scorched earth tour where he just doesn't care about anyone but himself. But, like, that means he needs to pad his stats. And how will he do that? By just forcing the ball to Lazard, who I believe will be his number one. So I'll say that's probably my favorite pick. And then on someone else's pick, I saw Saucy Do. I saw he got James Conner at 4.5. I absolutely love that. I think Conner's in the same breath of Chubb, Fournette, Zeke. So to get him a full round afterwards, like, I think that's one of the best picks on here.
Yeah, that's our boy Sammy.
Yep. Yeah. That was nice value for sure. And speaking of Aaron Rodgers, 15th round pick, final round in this draft. So again, if you know how many, if you know your whole league's only going to draft one quarterback, you can wait till the very end and you'll get a good quarterback. But I know Ryan and I have talked a lot on the podcast about just penciling someone in for vacated targets is not wise. It doesn't always work out like that. But in Green Bay, I mean, it's really like somebody has to catch passes here. So I do think Lazard is the front runner. And like I said earlier, he's starting to grow on me. I need to start picking him a little more. So Ryan, wrap us up here. Favorite pick of the draft and any other thoughts you got?
Yeah, it's hard for me to pick a favorite. It's like picking a favorite child. I'm just so in love with every single one of these picks. Absolutely no mistakes made whatsoever in this mock draft. If I have to pick a favorite, it will be Elijah Moore. I got him at the 601. That's probably earlier than you're going to have to draft him in most leagues. But I knew for a fact he would not make it back to the end of the 7th round.
You are correct.
Yeah. Yeah. I know there were some people that were planning on taking him. When we talk about the process of sophomore wide receivers breaking out, Moore looked great. He was one of the best wide receivers in a points per game basis when he was playing with Joe Flacco last year. It sounds like Flacco is starting week 1, we could see some really quick booms from Elijah Moore. And I just think he's an amazing player. I mean, I'm wearing an AJ Brown jersey right now. Anytime AJ Brown gets asked about Elijah Moore publicly, all he does is say that Elijah is a better receiver than he is and that he's so amazing. So I'm going to trust AJ Brown here and be happy that Elijah Moore is going to be on all my rosters this year.
Awesome. Let's get real quick hitter here. I'm going to go down the line, so I'm going to put you all on the spot. But just looking at the way these first two rounds went, just kind of stick to the first two rounds. But is there a certain spot in the draft you all are kind of targeting? It doesn't have to be an exact pick, but just as far as, do you want an early pick this year? Do you want a middle round pick, late round or late first round pick? Drew, what do you think? What kind of draft slot here fits your strategy the best?
I mean, I'm kind of an adaptive kind of a drafter myself. So, I mean, I can kind of get it done really from anywhere. I feel I like what Ryan did at the turn. I talked about that earlier in the podcast. So you can go in any different way there. Oftentimes you can get Diggs and Lamb. In this case, he got Dalvin Cook and Swift, which is incredible. Sometimes Kelsey and, a Swift or something like that. So there's so many different opportunities. And then you're going to get value again back at the 3-4 turns. DJ Moore was one pick away from going there. So that back end of the draft, I think, is attractive to me right now, just kind of looking at the value of where it lays out. I also like in the front end, too. One of the things I was looking at with the second overall pick was hoping that Pitts would fall, because it didn't quite happen. But I like the idea of being able to get a Kyle Pitts at the beginning of the third round. Mm-hmm. So those two turns I really, really like this year, being on either end of them.
Okay. I think I actually like probably pick 4 or 5 range. I like that I get whoever falls out of Jonathan Taylor, Christian McCaffrey, Justin Jefferson, Cooper Kupp, and Ja'Marr Chase. Mm-hmm. You could maybe throw a couple other players in there, but those are just some of my favorite to draft this year. So that's why, I mean, I kind of liked, I got pick 1.4. I took Cooper Kupp, and then T. Higgins is there on the way back. Now, I will say Saquon Barkley went up at 2.4 in this draft. The way the offseason was early on, maybe you could get him back there at pick 2.9 where I took Higgins. So it is starting to thin out at running back when you get towards the back of the second round. If you don't like Javonte Williams, if you don't like Leonard Fournette, like, we're starting to lose some options. So that would be the only downside for me, but I kind of like getting locked into one of those first 5 options. So Mario, what do you think? What's your preferred range to draft in?
I'll say this year in particular, I'm loving the end of the draft. I just feel like there's so much value. And we already talked about Ryan getting Cook and Swift. I think those are two genuine first round picks, and you get them both. So I do like being at the end of the draft this year. But I'll say, if you are going, and Ryan mentioned it, where if you want to go like that zero RB, because there is just so much value. I mean, you with the 4 got Cook, Kupp, Higgins. So I really think if you do want to go that strategy, if you can get like the Jefferson, you can get the Kupp, you can get the Chase in those 3 to 5 range, and then, you know, just stay with that wide receiver. And then, like I said, you'd be okay to go zero running back there. But I like the end of the draft this year.
All right. Same for you, Ryan. You like the end?
Yeah. Early on in the offseason, I really preferred the front. Similarly to you, Eric, I liked getting the Jefferson, the Kupp, the Ja'Marr Chase kind of in the picks 3 through 6 range. Because early on, there was Saquon Barkley that you could just take. Like, that was probably all of my teams I drafted on underdog early in the offseason was elite receiver Saquon Barkley at the back of the second. But now that's a lot harder. Now I find myself in that spot. I'm drafting way too much Javonte Williams, and that really, really scares me. Even it's a pick I'll make, but you never really feel amazing about it. So yeah, at this point, I think the back half of the draft is much better. You can be much more flexible. You can get Diggs in round 1 and still get a Barkley or a Swift in round 2. There's so many ways you can go. You can mix Kelsey in. Yeah, I prefer the back at this point if I do not have a top 2 pick.
Okay. I do think like pick 10 is a little tricky. I mean, Dustin did a good job with it, but he gets Alvin Kamara and CeeDee Lamb, but like, he kind of misses out on a tier of receiver after Devontae goes. And I don't know. I guess it just depends what running back you want to take there. I do think there are some difficult decisions in that 9-10 range. So I found myself drafting there a lot early on in the offseason, and I've been more upfront later. And I've kind of liked that so far. But yeah, it's always interesting to see all these ADPs change. Joe Mixon went at 2.5. I feel like he could go anywhere from 1.8 to 2.5 in most drafts. So I'm just noticing that Sammy, our resident Bengals fan, started out with Jamar Chase and Joe Mixon. So shout out to Sammy there.
And both are great value picks. I think, you know, both of you Bengals homers, I think, had a great job there. I think I really like the Higgins pick in the end of the second towards, or I guess it's the middle of the second, back end of it. What was that, the 2.9? Is that right? Yeah, I think it's terrific value there. So I think Higgins is an incredible receiver. People forget that he played last year with a bum shoulder, you know, and that's really limiting for a receiver, especially one with his game. And he's still balled out. I'm really, really excited to see what he does this year. So I love him in the back end of the second.
Yeah, Higgins was interesting because I kind of noticed down the stretch last year, I was like, he doesn't seem as fired up as he used to be early on in the season. What's going on? And it makes sense. He was playing with a torn shoulder, so sometimes that affects him a little bit. So, all right, guys. Well, this was a ton of fun. Yeah, most of our podcasts might be a little more organized than this. These 30-second pick clocks and mock drafts get a little hectic, but I think it's a lot of fun. Hear our thoughts kind of as we're drafting and what goes through our mind when we're making these picks. So hopefully that was helpful. Thanks to Drew DeLuca and Mario and Ryan, everyone who joined me. It was a ton of fun. We've got our What We Saws for the preseason coming out. We've got last week's out, and we will have our final week of the preseason out on Monday morning. So just make sure you're checking those out. Saves you a lot of preseason viewing that you probably just don't want to do. So read our article, catch up on everything that you missed. But after that, man, we got a week off, and then we are rolling into the regular season. So just keep checking us out for the podcast, for all of our rankings and everything. And we'll have one back here with you pretty soon. Thanks, everyone.